You're listening to a podcast from 702.
And it is time for the Friday edition of the UCBS McIsa Show. I hope you are well. Actually, no, I don't really hope that you are well. I just hope that you are. You are alive if you are listening to me, unless you believe in life after death and some transcendental version of you is listening to the UCBS McIsa Show. Sidebar, unlikely. Ashes to ashes and all that. So you probably are alive, and that is a minimum requirement for gratitude this morning. But we start the show normally by saying, I hope that you are extremely well. But there's no reason to impose on you compulsory happiness. If you are feeling pissed off this morning because of racism in the world, that's okay. If you are feeling pissed off this morning because someone in your house is not pulling their weight, that is perfectly okay. If you are sad this morning, that is also okay. If you are feeling low emotionally, maybe you are clinically depressed, or maybe you are depressed in a manner of speaking, that is also okay. I want you to bring your complete, sincere, authentic self to the open line and tell me what you are feeling, what you are experiencing. I don't want you to perform a version of yourself that doesn't exist, because life is too short for that kind of insincerity. How am I feeling? I don't know. I'm feeling weird, dude. I'm feeling very weird. I had a conversation last night with Aki, and we were just reflecting on what we are in for as a country in the days and weeks ahead, having had a look at the latest stats of COVID-19 numbers of the previous 24 hours. And they are very scary, very, very scary. It's the first time that the numbers have jumped, Abel, by more than 2,000, probably 80% to 100% higher than the biggest 24-hour period before. So in the last reported 24-hour period, 3,268 new cases. And it seems just like the other day when Prof. Grimm were telling us we need to keep that number, what, there around 200 or thereabouts, and then we are doing well. And here we are on the 5th of June, and our latest numbers that are the official numbers, mind you, which is not to say the real numbers, 3,268 new cases within a 24-hour period. Absolutely insane. And this is just at the beginning of lockdown level 3. You can't be in a good mood when you see those numbers unless you've become numb by the numbers in South Africa. And one can say with near certainty, you don't need to be a Sangoma to predict this, that those numbers are still going to get absolutely worse than they currently are. Because this is still from a backlog of tests that have to be processed and what have you. These numbers don't reflect the opening up of the economy that is happening this week. The consequence of what's happening this week, and I'm not making a judgment call about whether it's a good or bad thing that we're in lockdown level 3. I'm trying to give you a descriptive reality. The consequence of what is happening this week will be seen in the numbers in weeks to come from now. And the grim reality is it's a matter now of weeks at most before you and I know people who are dead from COVID-19. That is the reality. It's going to happen. Add on to that facts that are specific to South Africa, such as deep inequality, public healthcare system that is not fit for this kind of thing, schools that are going to be reopening soon, even in a phased manner, universities as well, and of course workplaces where many of our workplaces are simply not putting people first, even when they claim to be putting people first. It's nice to say to your staff, we put people ahead of profits. The truth is to be found in your behavior, not in what you are saying as a CEO. And there are many workplaces in South Africa that put profits before people, despite what they spray paint in the foyer. Never be fooled by sloganeering. Always measure corporate citizenship by the behavior of corporates. In that context, It is really difficult to say to you, I hope that you are well this morning, because all is not well with South Africa, all is not well with us as a species, and all is not well with us in 2020. So I am not in a mood this morning for conviviality. I can perform it. I've been in the business long enough. I've been trained as a debater and as a public speaker. I can give you 3 hours of happiness. Happy Eusebius. But it would be profoundly insincere. I didn't mean to make Aki depressed last night, but I said to Aki, sometimes one is almost tempted to be jealous of the dead. Because when you are dead, it's all over. When you're alive, you still have to be in the maelstrom of the emotion of 2020. It's a horrible choice to already have crossed over, then at least it is all over, or to still be inside 2020, which is probably going to be the toughest year of your life if you are listening to the show right now. So I don't know whether I'm coming or going emotionally, and I want you to call me if you don't know whether you are coming or going. I want to give you the space to be okay with not being okay. And even if you don't have the words, there's a DJ with broad shoulders happy to take your calls right now. Between me, Abel, and Lebo, we've got you covered. 011-883-0702. One of my go-to songs when I'm in this mood, which is a mood of not quite being emotionally in kilter. If one can be out of kilter, I assume you can be in kilter. The cunning linguist will tell me. Is this classic by Radiohead. And if I'm creeping you out at the moment, in mitigation, I'm feeling like a creep emotionally because of 2020. Len, good morning. Welcome to the show. Okay, Len, we'll come back to you in a second. Ronaldo, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eusebius. It's your first caller for 702. Listen here, my man, you can't be negative now. We need you more than ever. We need you more than ever. Please stay positive, my man. Please. It's difficult times, but we'll push through. We are a good species.
Look, I think the species may well survive because we are pretty good at subjugating the rest of the animal kingdom. And because of our IQ and creativity, which are unique features in incredibly high volume within us, we'll have a vaccine or a cure or treatment pretty soon. Individuals that you know will die, but at group level, we'll probably will continue. The embedded point that I'm trying to make is that what you are feeling as an individual, you must give yourself permission to feel. One of the curses of modernity, particularly the second half of the 20th century, and it has continued into the noughties and into the rest of this century as it is unfolding, is compulsory happiness. And if you are not wanting to feel happy and cheerful, that is perfectly okay. There's an entire industry of compulsory happiness that we need to push back against and allow yourself to feel most deeply what it is you are feeling. If it's fear, that's fine. If it's anger, that's fine. If it's anxiety, that's fine. If it's an existential crisis, that's also fine. But the idea that the most honorable feeling to feel is optimism coupled with joy, I think we need to push back against that and give ourselves psychic permission to be authentic rather than to be insincere.
Yeah, that's why I go into the shower sometimes and start crying. I love it. It's my space to go.
That's a beautiful thing, Ronaldo. And give yourself that permission. Give yourself that permission. Let's go back to Lynn. Lynn, good morning.
Hi, Eusebius. I'm really, well, not enjoying your show, but I'm taking a lot of comfort from it. I just want to say two things. I was absolutely traumatized about what they did to George Floyd in America. Too disgusting. And on the home front, I have a wonderful domestic worker who used to work for me twice a week. I'm trying to pay her monthly salary, but I'm very cash-strapped. And I'm so worried about her and her little granddaughter. I just don't know what to do.
Hmm. And what's happened to your domestic worker? Is she back at work? Have you been in touch with her?
She's not back at work because she's in a high-risk category with diabetes and high blood pressure, and she's raising her little granddaughter single-handedly. And I don't know if she can come back to work and take taxis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can do, I'm doing the best I can, is I'm paying her the very small salary because I couldn't afford more, and I'm paying her the salary, every month. But it just breaks my heart, you see. There's just so much suffering and poverty in this country alone. So I'm just doing my best in the circumstances.
I get you, Lynn, and be kind to yourself. The only thing you can do is to do your best. Thank you for the empathy that you are expressing towards your domestic worker. During the first month of this pandemic, as it played out here in South Africa, as I said the other day on Facebook, many of us reminded one another to pay our domestic workers, gardeners, and anyone else that's providing a service for you, and to play it forward and to just recognize that you would have paid anyway. I've seen those messages have stopped, and I don't judge anyone because many people like Lynn might now be cash strapped. So your magnanimity that you felt 2 months ago may be difficult to put your money where your mouths are right now, not because you don't have a principled commitment towards continuing to support someone that is working for you, but because you might be genuinely down and out. You might have been retrenched in the last month. You might have had told that you need to take a 30%, 40%, 20% salary cut. And in that context, it's extremely difficult to continue to pay your domestic worker. Be kind with yourself. My plea would be if, and it's a gigantic if, however, you are in that position, it doesn't have to be 100% or 0%. If you can still pay your domestic worker, even if it is a reduced amount compared to what you paid them before, then continue to do so. An amount that may be for your expenses, trivial or negligible, could be the difference between going to bed hungry and having something to eat if it is someone who actually works for you. Connie, good morning to you.
Eusebius, how are you?
I'm okay-ish, Connie. How are you?
Okay. I'm going to take from the song that I just listened to now that you played. Mm. You belong here. You know, in a way, we all belong here. And I think from somebody who once called and I wasn't in the States, I think, you know, I'm carried by the fact that there is a huge community and there's people like you would just talk about themselves. So I really appreciate how you just sometimes share about yourself and just say, I'm vulnerable. For me, it's a very scary time because the death numbers are rising. And every day, I think, you know, I just pay attention more on Facebook because that's where the community is for me now, because there's lots of people, you know, so you kind of connect with what's happening. And I think every time I see you posting the numbers, I just think there's few of you that post the numbers, because I've just decided not to even watch TV to hear about that. So I just go to quickly read and check. It's really scary. Last night when I saw what you're drinking, I realized that we are in for a big, you know, a big scary thing, and it's coming. And we thought it was not going to come as fast as it's coming, but it is coming. It's been, I think, few weeks that we fell into level 4, and ever since then the numbers are just getting scary. And it is true that the people that we know that have been contracted and all of that, we just have to pray and hope that the lives, as many lives are saved, and we just need to play our part to try and be as safe as possible and think of the others, you know, wearing those masks, trying our best, because really it's not even easy. I mean, I'm just, like, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that I can even speak with that sense of, you know, hope in me, because of, you know, I know the community is there. So, yeah, it's a very scary time. It makes one worry. You can't even get involved with anything else that's happening. Mm. I mean, you know, like the Causa Meta, there's a child that was killed now, a four-year-old. So there's a lot that's happening. And there's this virus that's just sitting, saying, I'm here. And I think it has taken over our lives, where the only thing we talk about is this virus, and it is scary, and it is scary. We don't know. I think for me, I just think, oh, my goodness, when, you know, if I don't hear from my son, he's with a girlfriend, if I don't hear from him a day, I freak out. I'm just like, dude, you better make sure that you just send me a message, because it's that sense of anxiety and fear of, oh, what's happening? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I totally do, Connie. And, you know, particularly if you're a certain personality type, or you lived a certain kind of privileged life, one of the things that come with a certain kind of existence is predictability and control. One of the things that this virus is forcing onto us is greater level of uncertainty, unpredictability, and lack of control. And if you do not know how to, because it's just not part of your DNA, live with uncertainty, lack of control, lack of predictability, then your anxiety levels will be particularly, particularly high. We do not know. There's so many, I mean, for every question that get answered about what this thing does to an individual body or to society, 10 more questions are raised about things we don't know. One day Panado is in, one day Panado is out. One day we are told this thing is fundamentally about the lungs. The next day it's not fundamentally about the lungs. The next day, you know, aircon is okay. Then we are told aircon is a vicious beast and it can help to spread this thing. Then we are told, you know, that people who smoke are high risk. Then we are told, oh, no, the numbers in that group is actually low. So when you have so many questions where there is a lack of certainty, and as human beings, one of the ways in which we help ourselves cope in general, I know it's a stereotype, is by latching onto that which we can control. And the year 2020 is the year where Mother Nature is forcing us to come to terms with the fact that we are far less in control of many variables that determine our fate than we have convinced ourselves with our superiority complex as Homo sapiens. And I think that alone is a source of anxiety and existential crisis for many of us, certainly for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you, Eusebius. I mean, the other day, sorry to go back, I read that article you wrote on Mail and Guardian about, you know, the fear of corona. And I mean, everything that you said there, when I was reading it and I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is a reality for so many of us. Every small thing, when you know it's winter, you might have a cough, you might have... So it's that where you're suddenly so scared, like you're living in fear. I mean, we are so out of control. And for... I mean, I must say, I felt a bit, when you spoke this morning, I felt as much as last night me and my sister were talking about how out of control we are. This morning when you said it, I felt like, at least I could say to you, see, just hang in there, because I'm, you know, that's the thing. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. And I think when there is something that you can always hold on to or think of, or some sort of distraction, it kind of helps. But in reality, Mother Nature has taken over, and it is very scary, and it is not helping us.
Look, let me say this in parting, in a parting shot, Connie, and then we'll give others a chance after the news headlines with Tara. Of course, we have agency, and we get taught that we have agency pretty early on. When you get wrapped over the knuckles for doing something as a child, we begin to instill in you a sense of your own agency. When we start punishing you, even through the justice system, we instill in you the idea that you have agency in terms of the legal system in society. When we ostracize you as a bad friend, if I get rid of you as my lover, those are social, moral, and romantic consequences that suggest to you you could have acted differently. So the idea of having control and having agency is a powerful pull in how we live as human beings, right? And I don't know whether we could live recognizably human lives without, even if it's an illusion, of strong agency. So we're not just floating down a river and being swept away without any agency. What the numbers will look like by Christmas depend on what we do and do not do right here, right now. So there are many things we can take control over. But the fundamental reason why I started the show this morning differently to how we usually did it, and I started it with a similar tone as the last time you and I spoke on that Friday when you called in, you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, it's for a very simple reason. Something weird happens when the sun comes up. When the sun comes up, we become insincere. And it's okay to not be okay. If you are deeply worried about whether or not you'll be able to afford to pay the bond, if you're not sure whether your car will be repossessed, if you are worried about whether your kids can still go to the same school because you don't have money for the school that they're attending anymore, if you've just been told that your company is closing down, then you are not okay. And just because it is 9:30 and the sun is out does not mean that you need to perform emotions that you are not feeling.
702 Open Line.
24 minutes before 10 o'clock. It is an open line. 011-883-0702. Gail, good morning. Thank you so much for picking up the phone. Talk to me.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, Gail. Go ahead.
Good morning. Is that Eusebius?
Yes, it is Eusebius. Speak to me.
Good morning, Eusebius. My name is Gail. Thank you so much. Yes, I think your topic this morning is really, really pertinent and very brave, and I commend you for that. I, for one, I'm 64. I have had my own business for 26 years today, and it's the fourth time I've had to revamp and revive, and I'm feeling like I am losing it. Most of my work this morning has been psychological counseling and boosting candidates and clients' morale, and you don't look after yourself. So I am feeling creepy, no direction, feeling incredibly low, allowing myself to feel like that, feeling just not knowing what tomorrow is bringing. I'm sick and tired also of racism, 26 years post-bloody democracy. We think we can sort America's out. I think we've got a lot of work to do here. I, for instance, tired of also the triple BEE. I mean, I place 90% of the people I place are black people and black females. So, you just can't win any which way. And the thing is, you can take pills and you can keep level grounded and you can keep picking yourself up every morning and doing it all over again. But it does really start after years of this. I mean, our job market has been in a spiral for the last 10 years, a downward spiral. And there's just no end to it. So, to try and keep your morale up and then allow yourself to feel down, but you can't do that permanently. But every couple of days, it does help. And when you're looking after other people, to take a medicine and that to cope is also not a medium or long-term solution. You caught between a rock and a hard place. You actually don't know where to go.
Absolutely.
The COVID funding is ridiculous. Nobody responds from the funding agency. That's a complete mess. Nobody cares. And we who have been employing people, be it only six, you don't have to let them all go. So, you actually just don't know in this country which way to turn. There's too much lies. There's so much corruption. We just all low on trust, and I'm not saying we're the only country, but how do we get through it? Yes, sure, by touching people's lives every day in a positive way and trying to make a difference, but it is incredibly hard, and what you're saying is so true. But, I wish we could have a solution to this, because it just prolongs. Nobody knows what to do. Yeah. So we're all feeling a bit down today.
Gail, I feel you, and that's okay. We can talk about solutions and what we can do, but right now I want to just honor how you are feeling and all the voices that are in your head and allow yourself that. I had a good night's sleep, but only with the help of some chemicals. I had 2 milligrams of Dominoct, and it is a beautiful thing. Yeah, the world comes, as my friend Karima says, the world comes at you slowly. So funny enough, I'm feeling sharp analytically, but at an emotional level, I am, of course, not feeling okay because the world is in crisis. I'm worried about my personal well-being. I'm worried about which of my friends, family, myself included, may be affected by COVID-19. Soon it's going to be 6 degrees, 5 degrees separation, separation. And I think it's okay to allow ourselves to sit through those emotions. If there's one thing I've learned in my work with my beautiful therapist, it is never swallow the lie that you can get by in a fully human life by bypassing the psychology. You have got to go through the psychology.
So even as we
look for solutions for you, Gail, and for the country, allow yourself to feel low this morning because you sound like someone who's a pragmatist. By 10:30, you may be an energizer bunny looking for solutions, but right now I want you to feel low.
Thank you, Eusebius, because I do have a battery in my back pocket. I was born like that. But today, feeling exactly those emotions, and I'm damn well going to allow myself to feel like that for a few days.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gail. Thank you. Thank you for your authenticity. Opa, good morning to you. Thank you so much for holding on. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Okay. I'm my brother. Hi.
I'm okay, Opa. Thank you.
I'm fine. I think what I want to raise is that our politicians should not use this pandemic to make political pandemonium, because they have the connections and the finance and the powers to integrate and then to synergize and come up with solutions to help the people on the ground. And they can do that. They can cross the floors and then engage the others and see how they can help us go through this. And I can read from you the tone of your voice that you are sort of low.
I am. And I am lucky that I have a job that requires me to be authentic. I would hate to be someone who has to leave their home, leave their true selves behind and perform, because there's a whole industry of compulsory happiness. In fact, it's worth billions of dollars. Self-help books, pills that you can pop. You have to be maybe the front of desk person at your company, and you are expected to project a certain kind of body language. I'm actually incredibly privileged as a talk show host that I'm required to have sincere, authentic conversation with you. And I can see, I mean, these conversations are simultaneously tough but beautiful. But there are millions of workers who have to get on with being cogs in the wheel this morning, who have to leave their true selves at home.
And another thing, what I wanted to do, the lady who just phoned, I felt sad for her when she hinted on the fact that she could have to lose everything she worked. And I want to tell her that, like a plane, sometimes you have to come down and run on the runway to take off and fly higher. It could be that what she had then, it was not her destination, it's a connecting flight. She's bound for more to come. And I wanted to bring this to your attention again. I think this time it's like the universe is punishing the world. Because I hinted on my many phone-ins towards the build-up that we should look into food security and that the creator would pull a plug, and it's happening just like that.
Thank you, Opa. That's one way one can try and wrestle with this moment, is to create meaning out of it. Noluthando, good morning to you. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, morning, CBS. This is my first time calling.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I feel what you're saying, and I feel the same way you feel. I'm caught in between a rock and a hard place. My fiance's nephew broke into my car. He took my radio and everything else that was in the car. So I have no faith in the police at all, because he has went to prison like 2 months and then he came back. And now, I don't know, because now, in where we stay in Soweto, like the mob, they like to utilize, they would take these young boys, they would put a tie around their necks and then they would basically light them on. So I'm not about that. And I'm feeling so sad, because I don't understand why would they keep repeating these, this kind of acts. It's senseless to me, having this pandemic that's going around, and then you still find yourself having to deal with someone who's doing crime at the same time. Yeah, it would be just, I'm really not feeling well. I'm under the weather. I don't even want to come to work the way I feel. So I'm in the same boat as you, so, yeah.
Rolandanda, thank you for calling in. Thank you for keeping it honest. Mm-hmm. It's okay to not be okay, and your lack of faith in the police, quite frankly, it is entirely justified. And you talk about, a family member breaking into a car, mm-hmm. and that gives you despair about whether to tell the police. And as I listen to you, I have despair at how many girls, women, children can't rely on the police during this particular time to be able to keep them safe as well. And as you're talking, obviously, mm-hmm. Tracy Chapman comes to mind. And there's chilling lyrics about the police that end on with the lines, "The police always come late, if
they do,
if they come at all."
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late, if they come at all. It won't do no good to call the police. Always come late, if they come at all.
Royd, good morning.
Hi, CBS. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you, Royd. Thank you so much for picking up the phone.
Oh, thank you, Eusebius, for having me. I'd like to talk about what you just said earlier at the beginning of the show, that the numbers are going up and things are going to get worse in the few weeks to come. I totally agree with you on that, at this point, if we can look at other countries like Sweden, they also look like they had the virus under control with only 20,000 cases. But if you can check their stats today, they are really at the top. So even with us, I think the same thing is happening. In the beginning, we looked like we had it under control. But now as time goes by, numbers are going to go higher and higher. So I think we need to try and take a different approach, try another strategy, because the one we're doing, it's also taking us the same route as Italy, Thank you, Eusebius.
Thank you, sir. Toomey, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you, Toomey.
Yes, Eusebius. I'm also worried about this COVID thing. I don't think the government has an idea of what they're doing. Like I was saying, I've got a friend of mine who just found out yesterday that she tested positive. And at work, they just basically sent her home, and then she did it. But she's worried. What must I do? I mean, I want food, I want this, I want that. So what must happen now, And, what do you do? I think we're in for a high jump in the country.
I think so too, and I think the numbers, the statistical analyses, the charts do not tell the human story. The perverse beauty of the last 50 minutes is hearing everyone speaking and telling their stories, emoting, reporting how you are feeling, your lack of certainty. because if you see numbers too often, you stop responding to them. Even yesterday's numbers, as horrific as they are. I mean, can you imagine if just 2 months ago we were told there will come a day where in a 24-hour period we would have over 3,000 confirmed positive cases, 56 dead. Most of us would have said, no, that's not going to happen. Don't be silly. We're not Italy. Alternatively, we would have freaked out. Now, many of us sort of see that number, and then you go to the next page in the newspaper, or you continue with the next item on your to-do list. We are already numbed by the numbers, and I think, sadly, the next thing that will shake us out of our complacency with the numbers is when the people in the ICUs gasping for breath or who are dying are people you know.
Yeah, it's sad.
And that's imminent.
All right, well, thanks. Yes.
Thanks to me. Thanks for calling in. Lulamisa, good morning.
Morning, Zebias. How are you?
I'm all right. What's on your mind?
Yeah, actually calling because I have an issue here with regard to these TAFs, UIF, that was dispersed by the Labor Department to different employers so that they can disperse that to their employees. One of my sisters is working for a company called Table Cleaning. When she called me about 3 weeks ago to tell me that no, she is struggling with the funds during the COVID, I asked for her ID just to check if the company have applied for them. And to my surprise, I found that actually their monies, the TFCIF monies, was actually paid to their employer as per the date on the UIF website. It shows that it is actually on the 21st of April, and the amount was 4,027 rand. I've been sending emails to them throughout the, I think, for the past three weeks, trying to understand what has happened and why hasn't the money been disbursed to the employees.
And what answer did you get?
The answer that I got was they asked for the IDs. They wanted the IDs, but because I didn't want to put my sister's job at risk, I just directed them to the workstation. So they have got different branches around the country. So I directed them to Crawford, the school in Crawford. That's where she cleans. But the company obviously have got cleaning contracts all over the country and even outside of South Africa. They only have about 15 employees in there, so it won't be hard to actually check who the employee is and whether the monies were paid. Another thing that I did was to ask for the ID numbers of her friends just to make sure that, you know, this is not a mistake that only happened to her, but I wanted to actually confirm if the other people had been paid in a workplace, and only to find out for the four IDs that she gave me, none of them have been paid, but all of them are appearing on the UIF TAFs website to have actually been allocated this money by Labor Department.
Lulamisa, we're going to come back to this labor issue. I can't tell you how many cases like that I have had people writing me about. And maybe that's something we need to focus on in World of Work next week. So please do listen out on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. That might be a good thing to pick up on. So many of your tweets, I can't get through all of them, but let me read some of them and give you some love. Nao says, just by admitting vulnerability and being authentic, you are winning already. Thank you, Nao. The same back at you. Khari says, chilling show today, but I love the authenticity of it. Yeah, life is too short to be performative all the time. My God, it takes a lot of psychic energy, Khari, that can be better spent doing other things. Prabhashni, yeah, for many of us, says that song is ingrained in my soul from my childhood. It's been in my head for days now. It's been in my head as well, especially when I look at some activists doing really amazing work to try and provide some sort of scaffolding and assistance, particularly for women who find themselves locked up with monsters. And in that context, the chilling lyrics, The police always come late if they come at all. They've been in my head for a while now. Grant says, Yubi, you make me cry listening to that song. Yeah, it's a classic. And then Udo, how's it, my friend? Says, Yere Mere, my Jays Dalam Lifa, Biki Tracy Chapman, man. Let me guess, your father had a fast car. Not even, hey? We used to have to walk. If my dad's listening, he'll remember. For some reason, we didn't always have a car. Sometimes if we needed to go shopping, we'd first have to walk to my grandfather's house. And then my dad would have to borrow his car. And then we'd be in the achterkant van die kar, in die kattebak, on our way to town in it. And then my other grandfather used to have a Ford Cortina. So that's what we had, back in the day. I just love Tracy. There's just something about Tracy for any child, particularly that grew up in the sort of late 80s, that is just, on your brain all the time. And there's something about her lyricism in terms of these struggles and that particular song at this time that just feels so, so, so right. Penny Lover. Hello. Hello, Penny.
Hi. Hi. Good morning, CBS. I don't have much to say except to say, you know, I love you. I look forward to 9 o'clock every morning, but this morning was absolutely special. I mean, I think you might not think it, but you're so in touch. You're really in touch, I think, with your emotions, but I think with South Africa's emotions and I think the world. I just want to say, love your show. You know, you've kind of opened my kind of spirit this morning to say, you know, it's okay not to be okay. And I think that's absolutely, I think, where we need to find ourselves at this point. I just wanted to make a comment as well. I just feel that my discernment skills have gone. It's kind of like they've been dulled. And you know, you just don't know where to look. I've actually looked this morning for a book on discernment, just to show, you know, what is discernment and how can you kind of find your way. And
I hear you.
I'm looking for it because, I mean, for me, it is about discernment at the moment, and nobody has it, right? Nobody has it, and I think that's what we are looking for. Anyway,
that is Penny. Yeah, everything you've said. Thank you for the love, the generosity, the kindness. I'm also chuckling in between that. Thank you for the nerdishness. I'll put in another banal thing besides discernment. The other thing I'm looking for, and I need a book if you have one, is what day of the week it is. You know what I mean? Basic judgments are no longer functioning very well, like the beginning and the end of a work day, the beginning and the end of a work week. It's already June. Normally, some of us might think about planning our holiday. I was going to be in Italy more or less now with a friend of mine who's got a beautiful house on the Amalfi Coast. And the entire year is just becoming one blob. So we need discernment.
And let me give you the example of the day of the week. You know, last week, was it last week or the week before that? I can't even remember. When you play the anthem at 1 o'clock. The anthem started playing and it's like, no, it's not Friday. You can't be playing the anthem today. And I asked myself, can you tell me, it can't be Friday today because it's Thursday.
Yeah.
You
know, one of my favorite words that I abuse come up for me right now. I think it summarizes how you are feeling and the entire year. Discombobulating.
That's an excellent phrase, word.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you for being so kind. Thanks.